Amen, amen. Take your Bibles as you're sitting and turn to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. We're taking a brief break from Genesis, and today we're going to observe, we've observed baptism, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And so hopefully you have already prepared your heart, or will begin to prepare your heart for this reminder. Before I dig in too deeply into Proverbs 3 and sharing with you what God's laid on my heart this morning, I've got a couple things I want to just make you aware of. As we move in the next month, it's our annual emphasis on our World One Mission offering. We support missions through this offering. This is an offering we ask you to pray about, think about, to give. We would encourage this to be above and beyond your normal tithe and your normal giving. But this would be the second place that I would encourage you to give if you're going to give to any of our special offerings. This one's important. We set a goal of $80,000 each year, and you have been incredibly faithful to meet that goal, and we're able to support ministries. We have church plants that we support in Louisiana, Texas, Wyoming, and Colorado. We have missionaries we support in Arizona, and Thailand, and Germany, and South Africa, and Zambia. We have local ministries that we support here in Leesville, like Helping Hands and Beyond Our Walls. Helping Hands is our benevolence ministry in town through our Vernon Baptist Association that literally serves thousands of families, food, clothing, household goods every month. It's self-sustaining, but it needs our financial support. And so we help in that. It needs our volunteers. And so if you're looking for a great place to volunteer, that's a great place to volunteer. Maybe Beyond Our Walls you've not heard of, but this is a food ministry that we support done through our church here at East. We fund that completely. Well, not completely. We have some help from some of the food banks, but we spend about $30,000 a year giving food to children that might not would have it on the weekends. And so we send home somewhere around 300 bags. 300 children are served through that ministry every Friday. They leave school with some food for the weekend, and that is supported from these funds. Next year, not this year, because Christmas is getting close. Hallmark Christmas movies are already coming out. If you want to know the story, come see me. I can tell you. Amen. But next year, we're going to have the Joy of Christmas event where we just support and encourage and love on some families that might not would have a great Christmas, and that'll be funded through our One World, One Mission. And so the church plants, the missionaries, the food ministries, the benevolence ministries, many of these are supported through this offering. And so if you have any other questions, I'd love to answer those. It's one of the best parts of our church is what we do through One World, One Mission, and you are so faithful to support that. But I want you to be aware of that. That'll be our missions emphasis for all the month of November. Why? Because it's all of our mission emphasis. It's everything we do on the side of missions and church plant and missionaries and benevolence ministry and loving on our community, loving on our state, loving on our nation, loving on the world in the name of the Jesus. And so it's something that I give God great glory, but great thanks as well for what he does through his people here at East. Here's the second one. If you've never listened to one of our announcements, listen to this one. I need your help. We've got a candidate coming next Sunday in view of a call for our position of associate pastor. His primary responsibilities would be over our One World, One Mission and missions and evangelism. I don't want to say who he might be more like replacing than the other, because both of them were great men, but he'll probably pick up some duties from both sides of those, but he would be over our missions and evangelism. He wishes to be able to tell his church what's going on, for them to hear it from him instead of us. Herein lies the problem. I want you to know who he is, and I want you to be able to pray about it, and I want you to be able to see his name and his face and his family. And so on the way out, if you would like one, there'll be a deacon, Scott Grady, I believe, will be at this door. David Heyman will be at this door, and they will have copies of this gentleman's resume. I'm not saying his name on purpose because we are live online right now. And somebody in this church is kin to somebody in that church. I almost guarantee it. Or you know him, okay? It's still in the state of Louisiana, and this is a small state that talks. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if you would do me the favor, take that resume, pray over that resume, read that resume. If you have questions about that resume, call me or one of the personnel committee. I guess his number's on there. You can call him if you want to, I guess. That's kind of bold. But anyway, praise the Lord. He'd probably take your call after you leave a message because he won't have your number. But anyway, y'all take calls from people you don't have their number? I don't. So if you want me to take your call, give me your number. And so it's in my phone. Or leave a message and tell me to call you back. Man, I'm so ADD this morning. Praise the Lord. But don't take a picture of this and put it on social media. And here's the deal. I'm telling you, somebody in here is going to know somebody in the church where he currently serves. I almost guarantee it. Let him tell his people. This is not an easy transition for him. He was not looking to leave this family of God that he loves. I made him pray about it, and God, I believe with all my heart, is in it. And so, but I want you to see them, know them, pray about them. He'll be here next Sunday morning. He'll preach in both services. We'll vote. Those of you that are members of our church will be able to vote at the end of each service. Saturday from 2 to 4, we'll be have Alabama LSU kickoffs at 6:30, so chill. But Saturday from 2 to 4, there'll be a meet and greet and some informal Q&A in the fellowship hall. And so you're welcome to come to that. And but he'll be here before and during and after the services next Sunday. But you can receive a copy. Just take one per family if you would, because I didn't make but a couple hundred copies. And so but don't publicize this. I'm just asking you. All right? If your Facebook page is the first one where it shows up today, I'm just going to pray extra for you this week. That's all I'm saying. I can't do anything else. And so, but pray for them and their family. It's not easy. If you do ministry right, there's part of you that breaks when you leave a place that you love dearly. You're excited about the new opportunity, but you grieve. When you've done it right, you grieve where you're leaving. And so pray for them and for their children and the church where they'll be leaving and for what God has in store here. And if you want to ask me questions, you know me, but our personnel committee is Mike Kay, Michael Beeler, Dave Detz, Lewis Cleanscales, Diana Bergman, and Teresa Brown. I was just going around the table and seeing y'all in my head and when we've been meeting and stuff. So if you want to talk and ask any questions, you are welcome to do that. But please honor that request if you would. I'm asking you and trusting you in that. But after the service, on the way out, you'll be able to receive. Those coming in don't get one. But you on the way out, get one, because I need to give them instruction as well. Now, this one's a little bit more dangerous because our service is over before their service starts. And so that's why I just ask you for that privilege and that request. Amen. All right, Proverbs 3. I finished this text. I used this text as a cross-reference last week when I was talking about, are you walking with God? And God's just been burning this text in my mind for a couple weeks now. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want us to think through this text before we walk into the receiving of the elements and the taking of the Lord's Supper. What a special day it is for me when we take the Lord's Supper, but also have baptism. Because I think it's two of the clearest pictures of the gospel, that we're buried with Christ in our sin, but we're raised to walk in newness of life. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That thing that we do one time, done rightly. Baptism is a one-time act. You say, well, I've been baptized 6 times. I promise you, you ain't never been baptized but once, biblically and correctly, okay? If you had to get it right somewhere, somehow. Maybe you were wet as a kid and you understood it as an adult. Or maybe you went to, you just figured it out somewhere. But done rightly, baptism should be, I'm saved and I confess and profess to myself, to my church, and to the world, I desire to live for Jesus once and done. And that picture, one time, line in the sand. For the Lord's Supper, you've heard me say this, right? But I'll say it again and again and again until Jesus comes back. Lord's Supper is over and over and over again, reminds us of the body that was sacrificed, of the blood that was shed, that you and I might have life. The gospel. These are the greatest sermons ever preached at East Leesville, are the Lord's Supper and baptism. Not anything to do with Tommy. What Jesus himself has given us to observe through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper to remind us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So with that in mind, my sermon will be short because I believe the greater message is in the Lord's Supper. Proverbs 3, I want you to see the principles and I want you to see the blessings. I don't believe that these are absolute promises that if you do these things that every single time these other things will come about. But I do believe they are biblical principles that we can trust, that as we reap what we sow spiritually and as we practice these principles, we will see consistently the blessings that the writer of Proverbs shares here, beginning in verse 1, that we would walk in obedience. Look at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. The word of God should always be on our mind and on our heart, on our lips, and that we should walk in obedience to that word because it carries the blessing of length of days and peace that they will add to us. It doesn't mean that we'll all live to be 110. But I will assure you that if we'll walk knowing the Word, understanding the Word, obeying the Word, that is a greater path of blessing than to walk in rebellion against the Word, or even to walk in ignorance of the Word. We should walk knowing and obeying the Word. Listen to James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There is blessing in the Word of God. Look at verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. That means mercy and kindness and truth. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. We should love and be kind and walk in truth, constantly reminding ourselves of God's truth and God's love. And the promise, the blessing is that we would find favor and high esteem. We would have grace and good reputation before God and man. I'm more concerned about having that before God, but it also comes with blessing and reputation before man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord, not in yourselves, not in myself. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. Listen, I can't acknowledge Him when I'm walking in sinfulness and rebellion. You can only acknowledge Him in those things that are those things that glorify Him. And so in all our ways, acknowledge Him, not just in formal worship, not just when we gather together, but in all of our steps and all of our days and all of our words and all of our deeds, even in our thoughts, may we acknowledge Him. I'll just tell you, I'm having a little bit of a spell up in my life the last few weeks. I'm just excited about what God is doing, and it's causing me to think about Him more, to read about Him more, to pray to Him more, to walk with Him more, and I just pray the Lord just keeps it up. Every once in a while, the enemy will try to throw something in there that I know doesn't honor God, and I was like, I don't want it. I want Jesus. Amen. Can I just be real with you? It's not always like that. Don't look at me all spiritual. It's always like that for you? It's not always like that. I'm getting phone calls, emails, texts. Hey, can you talk to me about being saved? Can you talk to my kid about being saved? Can you talk to my husband? Well, anyway, praise the Lord. about some other stuff. Anyway, but God's just moving. And you hadn't seen all of it yet. God's stirring, and it just, when we walk with God, it makes us want Him more than anything else. Is that where you are? That's where God would have you to be. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. It means to make your path smooth and straight. Now, listen, what that does not mean is make your path easy. Make your path without trials. Y'all live long enough to know, right? There's going to be trials. Preacher, I like a preacher that's more positive. I'm positive there's going to be trials. You can find some prettier preachers and some slicker preachers that'll tell you, if you love God enough and have enough faith and give them enough money, then you'll never have trials. They're liars, harlotons, fakes. I'm glad I'm not them. But I can tell you this, you walk with God, it'll all work together for your good. Those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28, listen to the Word, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He'll make straight your path. It'll be the path that He has for you. It'll be the path that's for your greatest good, and it's the path that's for His greatest glory. I promise you this. I really believe this is a promise. It probably will not be the easiest path, but it'll be the best path. It won't be the least amount of friction path. But it'll be the path that makes you know Him more, love Him more, and proclaim Him more. You see, I don't always stay close to God when everything's going smooth. But sometimes, every once in a while, I go through something that just make me get on my knees, and I've got to seek Him even more. And I promise you, there's a purpose there. Preacher, you understand why that always? I have very little understanding of it. I just know I trust Him. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, and we can trust Him in our direction. We can trust Him. Honor the Lord. Trust in the Lord, not in your own understanding. To not lean on our understanding is the idea of humility. Look there with me in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. That means don't be puffed up. Don't think, I've got all this figured out. Lord, have mercy. You in trouble. You walking around thinking you get it all figured out. You getting ready to get smacked by something. I about guarantee it. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Listen, it's not a trembling or somebody that would jump, that they're scared you're going to harm them. It's just an awe and understanding that He is God. And He's got this world in His hands. And He is worthy of not just our Sunday, not just our portion. He is worthy of our awe. He holds our very breath. If somebody could decide whether you breathe the next breath or not, you'd probably be nice to them. Amen? It's not even that kind of fear, though. It's just an awe of God. Fear the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You ever been tired, but not just tired like bone tired? Y'all know there's a difference, right? And sometimes that's a good tired, right? You've worked, you've labored, you sleep well. And sometimes it's just you've just been beat on. Wore out in life, thing after thing after thing, some minor that don't really matter, but it's just like it just keeps pecking at you. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? But it brings refreshing to your bones. Some of us just need some refreshing. I'm going to a place today that outside of just being the refuge of our home with my wife and our family is one of my favorite places in all the world. It's just a little 600-acre ranch out in northeast Texas, but there's something about that place when I get out of my vehicle and I just kind of look over the hills and see the trees and the cows, and it's just like I just breathe better. My wife's a little jealous that I'm going, but she wants me to go because she likes me more when I get back from places like that. Can I just tell you guys, your wives will like you more when you have refreshing in your bones from the Lord. You're not quite as hard to deal with. Amen? Praise the Lord. Maybe I'm just preaching to me, but somebody else needs. If I'm going to have to deal with it, y'all got to deal with it too. Amen? Humility. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It's health to your flesh and strength, refreshing to your bones. James says this in James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That'll walk in humility and awe of the Lord, a fear of the Lord, not wise in our own eyes. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. There's blessing in giving. We ought to honor God with our resources, with our possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the what? The first fruits of all your increase. As God blesses you, as God blesses me, we ought to grow in our generosity. You show me somebody that is stingy and selfish and not a giver, I'll show you somebody that does not yet love God the way they should yet. Has not yet experienced the grace and love of God as God would have them to experience. And he says there's a blessing. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now as Baptists, that's grape juice. Amen. You all right? You good? But you'll be blessed. That can't be our motivation. I'm going to give, so God will give me more. That ain't going to work. It doesn't work. If I write this check to that ministry, then God's got to give me 10 times. God ain't got to give you nothing. It's all His anyway. You say, all right, here, I'm not going to stay here long because I don't want to, but preacher, you think Christians ought to tithe? Absolutely, I think Christians ought to tithe. Why? Because we ought to, you say, well, that's the law. You're right, it's the law. That's why I believe a tithe should never be the goal. I really believe the tithe should be the starting place. Why would I give less under grace than they were required to give under the law? Say, preacher, you talk big. You can check and see what I give. We're not going to give a tithe. We're going to give more than a tithe at the Kiker household. Why? Because we've been too blessed to just give a tithe. Listen, you say, some of you are wrestling with this. You do not do this out of compulsion. You do not do this out of legalism. The New Testament says You are to be a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. We ought to give out of gratitude, not because God needs our money, because he doesn't. Amen. He'd take your money if he needed it. Because we need to be givers. You say, well, what does the New Testament say about tithing? Well, just turn with me. I'm just going to hit this and then we're going to move on. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. And there are a lot of Pharisaical preachers that camp out on this idea of tithing, and they abuse their people. You do not need to feel abused. You ought not. And I pray you would never feel abused on this topic by this preacher. But I'm telling you, don't miss out on the joy of giving. But listen to what Jesus says. He is rebuking them about their attitude about giving. Look what he says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe your mint and your dill and your cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. They'd make a little bit of money on some of the little herbs that they sold, and they'd be sure to tithe on that, and they'd be sure to tell everybody they tithed on it. They're a bunch of hypocrites is what they are. And he said, you're doing all these things, and you're tithing on all this little stuff, but you forget the weightier things. I had it marked, now I lost it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 23, 23 and 24. Here's what he says. You've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done. What Jesus is saying, you ought to have tithed. You ought to do that. That's good. That is right. But don't neglect the others. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Now, Jesus is rebuking them in their attitude. They're tithing on every little thing that comes in their house. You get a $5 gift card. They're tithing 50 cents on the $5 gift card. And they're getting so legalistic about it. Jesus is saying, listen, you ought to have done that because that was an increase. But you don't care about anybody. You don't love anybody. You're not showing mercy. You're as legalistic as you can possibly be. You aren't right with, can I just tell you this? You can tithe and not be right with God. You can give 20% and not be right with God. You can give the whole thing and not be right with God. But you ought to give. Amen. Not out of legalism, not out of a compulsion, but because you love Jesus and you love his work. If you have questions about that, I'd be glad to talk with you through it. I'll even help you set up your online giving. Amen? You all right? Good. Praise the Lord. And then the discipline of God. Look at the discipline of God. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Is there anybody in here that just loves when you get disciplined? Or even that whole word discipline. Some of y'all love going to the gym. Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I want to understand it. I wish I could understand it. I wish God would give me that love. It would help. It would help some things. Because one of the places that the Lord has disciplined me is a lack of discipline in that area. And I'll just look at you and tell you, listen, when God disciplined, I was at the gym Tuesday morning at 5:30. Yeah, that's ungodly. It's not. And you know what? At 6:30, I felt better than I have at 6:30 in a long time, right? But on Thursday at 6:30, I didn't feel all that good. I felt better than some people in my house, but I didn't feel all that good. And so it just, but discipline is not something that I just naturally embrace. You know what's happening when the Lord disciplines you in some area of your life? You know what he's telling you? Have you heard God tell you he loves you lately? I grew up in a household where, like, it was supper, spanking bed, not every night. And I don't remember, your parents ever say, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you? I never said that. I refuse to say that. Just because I think there is some truth to it, right? But yeah, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want them to hear it. I don't think I said that. Did I? I didn't say that. Did I say that? Oh, praise the Lord. Kara says I said that. Amen. But when it's done rightly by an imperfect father, imperfect mother, but when it's done in the right heart, there's a deeper love there that's saying, I care so much about you. I'm going to endure the pain of this process because I don't want you to turn out like some heathen. If you don't have children, you don't understand an inkling of this, I don't think. I really don't think you do. Your preacher walks with God. I do. I'm telling you, I do. But not like I'd hunger to. I walk more with God now than I did a week or two ago, a few months ago, a few years ago. And I want to keep growing in that process. But I just tell you, I've gone through some discipline. And there's part of me that just rebels against that. I know you never do, but sometimes I rebel against that. But here's what God's showing me. When he's disciplined me, he's telling me louder than any other way other than the cross that he loves me and he wants what's best for me. And even the cross, that was your discipline and my discipline poured out on Jesus. And God from heaven shouting, by pouring out his wrath on his own son, I love you. This is how much I love you. How could we do anything else but trust him, fear him, give to him, receive his discipline as he shouts to us how much he loves us? So as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, as our deacons make ready to receive these elements, may we ask God to do whatever it takes for us to hear his shouts of love towards us and respond in trust, in awe, in honor, in obedience, and in joy to this great God that we serve, that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to pray, and then our deacons are going to come forward, and we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. As we prepare, ask God to examine your heart, that you might take this in right manner. Preacher, what is right manner? That we take this in and under and through the grace of Jesus is the only way we're able to take this in right manner. If you are a believer who's walking in obedience to Christ and his grace, we invite you to join us in the taking of these elements. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we receive this bread and as we receive this cup, may you search our hearts. If there be any grievous way in us that needs to be made right with you before we receive, would you make it clear? Would we confess? And would we receive your forgiveness? And Lord, as we take this as a reminder, as we do this in remembrance of what you have already done, may we hear you crying to us afresh and anew, I love you. I love you so much that I poured out my wrath on my own son for your sake. And Lord, as we're reminded of that truth, may it compel us to live a life worthy of the call of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so we may not be condemned along with the world. How do we take this in a worthy manner? Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. as one who trusts in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So if you're not a believer, I would ask you to abstain because this is not for you. I'd ask you to ask questions and recognize why it's not for you and that you would talk to someone and settle that before you even leave this building. But the only way we take this in a worthy manner is through Christ Jesus. Then he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The Bible continues, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our musicians are going to come and we're going to respond in a time of invitation. And I would ask you, if you have not yet gotten to the place where you could take this in a worthy manner, come see me, come see one of our other pastors, and let's help you walk through what Scripture says God's already done that you might be saved. Pray with me if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we've been reminded by the baptism of new believers that we're buried with Christ, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. As we've been reminded through the Lord's Supper that you gave your body, you shed your blood through your death, burial, and resurrection that we might have life and have life abundantly. Lord, for those of us that are your children, may this just be a clear reminder to us of your grace, of your goodness, of your faithfulness. And Lord, for others, may it be a reminder of their need for the gospel, their need to obey you in salvation and in baptism and uniting with the church of believers. Lord, whatever needs to happen for us to walk close with you, may you do that work in our hearts as we respond to your word, as we respond to the reminder of baptism, as we respond to the reminder of the Lord's Supper, as we look to the cross, the death, as we look to the grave, the burial, as we look to the grave, the glorious resurrection, as we look to your right-hand side where our Savior sits now making intercession for us, may we respond in obedience to what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.